Puzzly FM. Oh yeah, Puzzly FM. Oh yes, my friend, I'm here today to talk about Puzzly FM, a podcast hosted by Johnny Mac, Mr. Jezalenko, and Dr. Adrian Warmack. How cool is that? And if you wonder what the topics be, they talk to world experts and gurus about new technologies. Yes, it's so exciting. Oh yeah, you know.
Lady and gentlemen, welcome to Hursley FM with myself, Jez Kelway,
John McNamara,
and I'm Adrian Warman.
Oh, fantastic. Now, we were just having a little conversation because listener feedback has suggested that John needs to be louder, and it doesn't matter how much we nudge him, cattle prod him, cow poke him.
Away from the microphone.
He still manages to lean all the way back from the microphone, So what we've done is insisted that he moves the microphone much closer to his person, to which point he simulated something rather disturbing, to which you would never be able to hear a thing if he did that. So we're just leaving that for now. We've got the usual mix today. We've got a really interesting interview about someone who's going to give us some insight into what it's like to be in IBM and in Hursley.
Is that Mark?
Matthew or Mark, some geezer. And we've also got a little selection of tidbits and some news. What should we do first? Do you want to do? We could do news first, and then we could do tidbits.
Adrian,
give us a tidbit.
We want techie tidbit. All right, this is actually a follow-on from previous podcast when I introduced you to my new watch. Turns out that there is a tiny little flawlet with the watch, and in fact, if I take it off, if you look very, very closely at the charging pads on the back, you'll see that two of the five are slightly discoloured.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because even when it's not actually being charged, apparently there's a very, very, very small residual current.
There will be, yeah.
And it causes a very slight oxidation.
Oh.
And so they've actually had to issue a software update. So it's just like a normal over-the-air update to your phone, but this is to the watch, which will actually disable the charge going through those little contacts. Yes, yes. Absolutely fascinating.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, so there we go. This watch has actually already been upgraded.
Wow. Nice.
That's awesome news.
That is cool.
I do like that watch.
It is. It's really nice.
Yeah, but you find it okay? Because you were all full of wonderment and joy when we last spoke.
Yeah, so it's been several weeks now since then. And I can't imagine leaving home without it, to coin the phrase.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's rare that you actually get a gadget that's kind of like that, because normally my life cycle of gadgets is I'm going to go, oh, that's amazing! Oh,
put it in the drawer. Something else sparkling.
Yeah.
And
then they use it again.
Yes. And to follow on from that, my lengthy search for a new phone has reached fruition. I have in my hand HTC One M8 or Mate,
very nice.
I think is the term.
I saw an ad for it. It says it's crafted from one piece of metal.
Yes, it is. Yes, which I've then covered in a case. But you know,
it actually looks weapons grade.
It is awesome. And I must admit, I'm very impressed. Two things I'm particularly impressed with: the camera.
The camera
is amazing, but it actually feels very solid in your hand. Like it's a really nice.
That
experience.
Is very nice.
The screen's really large, John. Feels great in the hand. I'm leaving that. But it's uber quick.
It has got a case on it.
Yeah, it's got a silicone case. But that's the other thing which I want to highlight. HTC provide a silicone protective case with it in the box.
Yep.
How nice is that?
Red. Well done.
For it's got a micro SD storage, which the HTC One didn't have, which is why I went for the Galaxy S3. The camera is it's amazing. They've also got other loads of marketing blurb about boombox speakers and stuff, which I haven't tested yet, but genuinely it's a fabulous.
Because I think that's got two speakers, hasn't it?
It has,
what looks like the top and bottom, which gives you your stereo.
Precisely.
Whereas
on
my
side.
Nexus 5 has only got the one little speaker. I mean, it's very good, but it's only one speaker.
Yeah, and so far, I am really very impressed.
Wow.
I'm very pleased. It looks sexy as well.
Really it does look really good. It does look like you basically could blow up a nuclear power station.
I haven't tried that yet. I'm not writing it off.
It does look like a remote.
Probably is a countdown app. So yeah, so my search finished.
Very nice indeed.
Well done. My search begins for my new phone now.
Ah, well, I can recommend this one.
Yeah? Thank you, buddy.
Recommend does not mean you can have it.
Oh,
all those shops, they're right.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. When they say recommended purchase, it doesn't mean they're just giving it to you.
This is probably going wrong all this year.
Surprised you're not inside.
Lengthy prison sentence.
I didn't give it away.
They seem so unfair.
So I've got a new approach to news this week that I want to try out.
Go on then.
I've got some summary. So this week in technology, August the 1st to August the 8th. In neuroscience, a new study has shown that low intensity repetitive transcranial stimulation can alter brain organisation, which may help combat depression, epilepsy and tinnitus.
Is that electric shocks?
I believe so, yeah. Low intensity repetitive transactional stimulation. I think that's electroshock.
That could also be gentle beating with a baseball bat.
It could be. It could be magnets. I know there's some I'm trying to be serious and that just and the baseball bat analogy is killing. That's called prison electric up there.
To be lightly struck.
Exactly. Yeah. Lightly struck.
Gently. Until your behaviour's modified.
Exactly. I know the big electromagnets have helped with manic depression in the past.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So genetic manipulation news. Monumental research study shows that genetically modified mice that lack the TRAP-1 protein exhibit longer lives while dramatically decreasing age-related illnesses such as tissue degeneration and obesity.
Really?
Yeah, apparently so.
I knew there was research going on with, I think are they called telomeres? Yes. These long strands.
Telomeres, yeah.
Yeah, and the longer they are, the longer you live.
That's
it's eroded.
Yeah. Every time the cell replicates, the telomere length reduces. And when it's gone to zero, that's it. That sequence of cells can no longer duplicate.
Yeah. And when they've increased them in mice, they've lived longer. The problem is they just go completely bananas.
All right, brilliant.
You've heard it.
Not ready
first.
For human testing just yet. Communications news. Engineers have designed a new communication system called Wi-Fi Backscatter that issues ambient signals already in the air as that uses ambient signals already in the air as a power source for battery-free devices.
Wow.
Really?
That's cool, isn't it? Yeah, that sounds like you can charge stuff using the air.
That's amazing.
Yeah, brilliant.
That's really good.
Brain emulation, and this one's close to my heart.
That.
I love a bit of brain emulation,
yeah.
Especially since Terminator. IBM announces a radical new cognitive chip architecture that emulates the structure of the human brain and has achieved 1 million programmable neurons and over 256 million programmable synapses.
Wow, if you apply Moore's law to that, that's quite scary, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes.
And it's an actual chip. It's actually like there. We've done it.
And that brings the question up. Questions around the nature of the mind as well.
Yes.
You know, what
yes.
What do you emulate?
I wonder if the machine's going to be depressed. Just linking it back to the neuroscience.
I guess it depends how it's trained.
Is
it's
smart.
Yes.
Brain the size of a plant.
Oh, no, the session with John.
You
ask
me to make a cup of tea.
Call that job satisfaction because I don't.
Exactly. Imaging news. Researchers at Microsoft and Adobe have successfully developed an algorithm that can reconstruct detailed speech by filming the minute vibrations of objects, such as potato chip bags, in real time.
No.
Yes.
That's scary, isn't it?
That reminds me of a gig I went to once with a band called, I think it was Godflesh or Skullflower, something like that. Which basically two blokes walked onto the stage with bass guitars, switched on about 12 amps and proceeded to just bash the living nonsense out of them with what they called ambient vibration music. I had a massive hangover, but the bloke next to me also had a massive hangover.
Yes.
And we couldn't work out what this strange noise was all the way through. It turned out to be the can of Lucozade he was holding was resonating, and it was creating a noise that was just for us. So
because low frequency is actually a weapon technology.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a theory about the brown note.
Okay. Yeah.
A low frequency note that will cause reactions in the bowel area.
Yes.
So.
Well, sound's been used as kind of a passive weapon for a while. Because I've seen there are those situations in, let's say, various unstable countries where hostage situations have taken place, or people have decided to take over an embassy.
Yeah.
And those big helicopters come out and massive kind of speakers.
Yeah, they blasted metal at it, yeah. And AC/DC and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, and Colin Minogue, yeah. 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Oh, Boyzone, we're back there again. Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah. So, material science news. MIT researchers have created a new material made of microscopic electroplated bristles that can go against gravity and direct the flow of fluids to move up walls.
Wow.
Where do you get your sources
from? I'm not telling you. I'm not revealing any of it. I just thought a slightly different approach might just
really
bombard people with cool
really
stuff.
That's good.
It is.
So I've reached the end of my list there, but that's cool.
Thing is, now I think you're saying that's going to be completely trivial to
no,
the,
it's not.
The gravity
it's not.
Thing.
Because you guys will undoubtedly go into a little more detail than I've gone into. I've gone headline news.
Maybe not.
Well, Adrian will probably
go
into more detail.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So, John, what have you got for us?
Well, I've got two things. I'm going to start...
Lucky. Lucky.
Lucky you, listener.
A dog with...
First, ants.
Ants. Oh, I love ants.
Ants can save the world.
They probably are already doing that.
I think. Well, they are. Yeah. It's just they've not been recognised for that.
God,
and they
should give
be
him
recognized
an award.
So, global warming. Warming. Or warming.
Well, both.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
Global warming and warming.
Yeah. Freudian slip.
Indeed. So, loads of carbon dioxide. And what ants do, there was a 25-year long report and study from, I think it was the University of Massachusetts, I believe. And this guy effectively studied the behaviour of ants and the way in which they broke down basalt into salt and sand. Mm-hmm. And they trap carbon dioxide in their excretion. And they do it at 300 times the speed that nature would typically do it.
We're going to the Arctic quick.
I know, off they go. Yeah, so they kind of lick and create all this stuff and break down these minerals, poop it all out, and they also trap loads of carbon dioxide in the poop. Now, it still exists, of course, the carbon dioxide, but it's kind of buried in poop and then gets released naturally, which I thought was amazing.
That is awesome. Mm. I love ants even more.
Yeah.
Because they're amazing. I mean, they're the ultimate sort of... I've had one of those brain malfunctions.
You can do it. Come on, bring it.
It's a force of nature.
They basically... are the embodiment of for the good of the colony.
Yeah, they are.
I love that. And I think humans, we could learn a lot from how nature approaches some of those problems, because we tend to be a bit, well, I'll worry about me, mate, and the rest of you can sling you up.
Yeah. So here's a question. Ants are such a pervasive part of our mythology.
Hmm.
And as evidence, I would say that you've got some really classic films involving ants.
Hmm.
You have a film of many years ago called The Naked Jungle, which introduced the idea of soldier ants swarming and eating everything in sight. And then, of course, the classic Them.
Them! I knew you were going to say Them. And I have the poster for Them at home.
Really?
Yeah. Great.
That's a good film.
Oh, that was a brilliant film.
Really good.
Yeah, there was, I think MST3K did a riff on a film that was very similar to Them, but it was giant locusts rather than giant ants.
It's not the same, though. Is it? It wouldn't be the
it's
same.
It's not the same. No, it's not. No. I think you've inspired me to get an ant farm. I've been thinking about getting a pet for a while.
Hmm.
I think that'd be a good starter. I'm going to get a dog eventually, but maybe start with an ant farm and see how we get on.
They're lacking in emotion, though, to be honest, ants.
Yeah, but they're brilliant to watch.
Yes. True.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'll get it and report back.
I have a very healthy compost pile at home.
Oh.
And every so often...
Each their ants,
own? Well, indeed. Every so often, ants take it over.
Did
and it
really?
Is absolutely fascinating. I lift the lid to put my scraps in.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ants are
true.
Scurrying away, taking their little eggs away and everything, because they happily sit on top because it's so warm
with the
composting process taking place.
Wow.
No, I do. I find a similar thing. Sometimes I'm not much of a gardener, so when I do get around to gardening, I do find a lot of ant colonies seem to have moved into my garden. I love them. I hate the fact the Flymo shreds them.
Yeah.
But, you know, such is life.
Got a Flymo?
I have, yeah.
I remember they first came out and it was like magic.
It was.
Like
should have
magic.
Bought a Flymo, George.
Yeah.
Remember?
It's a lot less bother
with a hover. My granny used to say that.
Yeah. I got into real hot water with my parents. Because I took it out for a test drive in my garden, I went over and shredded the electric cord with it.
Yes, that was the classic scenario. And people losing toes because they were wearing sandals.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, what's your other
number two?
Okay, because that was brilliant.
NASA has approved a design for a spacecraft engine which breaks the laws of physics.
Wow!
And it's called the Canny engine. Mm-hmm. And Canny. Do you know why? Or should I say it to the end? Or should we tell you now? I'm dying to tell you now. Do you know why it's called the Canny engine?
Go on.
It's a reference to Star Trek. You canny break the laws of physics. Give me a high five.
Oh, thank you for that. I can't believe you went for that.
Yeah. No. That has made my day.
We've lost Adrian. This is such a classic scenario for us, Leo. Adrian's dying in the corner. Me and John think it's hilarious.
Physical pain.
For Adrian, other people say it's to do with the Battle of Cannae, which is between Hannibal and the Romans.
Nonsense.
There's no relevance there whatsoever. So the reason why it breaks laws of physics is because typically engines will work in a way to produce propellant which pushes something off against something else.
Yeah.
Doesn't do this, doesn't work in that way. It uses electricity to create microwaves, bounces around a container, and because of the difference of radiation pressure, produces thrust in a particular direction. Now, there's all sorts of weird and wonderful explanations for this, including the discovery of some new dimension in the universe where the base lowest level of energetic energy is contained. So all this dark matter, they believe, comes from this place, and that's what's pushing against. Now, if I understood any of that, I'd be a happier man. But it sounded really impressive to us.
I kind of understand where they're coming from.
Wow, okay.
That actually makes sense.
I read that, I thought...
Because you got to thrust against something, haven't you?
Exactly,
That's the difficulty with space travel, is we have to use a solid fuel in order to produce and generate that kind of...
Well, certainly if you wanted to go on a long-distance space journey, the problem has always been carrying enough fuel, A, to get you up into...
Into space,
and B, at the far end to slow you down. But if you haven't got to carry that weight, that makes a big difference.
And not only that, it's producing thrust in space, but you can also sort yourself out with a hot pocket or a pasty.
There's all sorts of sustenance all the way along.
That's brilliant.
Exactly right. Exactly.
So that is awesome.
Isn't it? I think you still need, because you need something to generate electricity, right? To generate the microwaves.
Yeah, we've got a small nuclear pile.
Yeah.
Or a bike.
I've often heard that.
Or like at festivals, when I want to charge my phone, I have to go on this bike that charges things up.
Unfortunate man cycling his way across the universe.
I'm going back to the Roman Empire, mate. I think we've got the new modern day equivalent of the slave ships.
Do you know what?
So I'm a Viking by heritage, so I'm down with that.
That
works. You get your warrior cast of blokes on the bikes.
Yes.
And then boom.
Suddenly have visions of cycling to Mars.
Yeah. It's the new endurance sport.
Yeah.
The ultra iron microwave man race.
The ultra Martian. Yeah.
Exactly. You know what it reminds me of?
The ultra Martian.
It reminds you of those, you know, those pictures that were created in the Victorian era of the world in 100 years' time.
Yeah.
Oh, it reminds you of that, and there's like pictures of, there's one of the Earth, and then there's one of Mars, and then there's a really ornate bridge going across, and there's some bloke using a penny farthing to get across it like this.
Quran,
beautifully dressed.
Sticks.
Yes.
Top hat, frock coat.
Well, I don't see any reason to remove that.
No.
That's exactly the kind of thing
we're
not
savages.
Exactly. We need stovepipe hats, that's what we need.
And then claim the territory in the name of Her Majesty.
Quite exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Do you have a flag? No. Well, you do now. Give me some tacks.
That'd be a really good book. Steampunk on the setting is the Victorian era, but where Queen Victoria never died, and they discovered something wonderful about steam, and so the British Empire extended on for 200-300 years.
Well,
and that's really interesting.
It still exists. They just call it America.
Yes, that's right. And for our American colleagues, that was Jez Kelwood.
Well, they seem to be doing all right without us.
They
I can't
do,
really
yeah,
complain
no,
about
no, exactly. No, for sure. Yeah, so that was me.
Well, that was brilliant. Brilliant.
Okay. So I read a very interesting piece of news about a new substance called Vanta Black.
Ooh.
Now, Vanta
that
Black...
sounds like an energy drink.
Not exactly, no.
Vanta Black.
Vanta. Ah. It's been invented by a company not so far from Hursley called, I believe, Surrey Nanosystems. And Vanta is an acronym for Vertically Aligned Nanotube Architecture, or Array.
Oh, now you're talking.
Now, the way that this works is if you imagine very, very small carbon nanotubes packed vertically, just like looking down the inside of a kitchen roll holder or something like that, if you've got it aligned perfectly where your eyesight is, you can see through to the other side.
Yeah.
But if it's slightly misaligned, you can't see through it. So when you coat this substance onto a material, you can't see the material underneath. But more importantly, light isn't being reflected
back.
And it absorbs light with such a perfection that something like 99.6% of the light is apparently not reflected.
Not reflected, yeah.
It is such a perfect level of black that your eye cannot comprehend the lack of reflection from wherever the substance is painted.
Wow. I want my car to be painted in that.
Absolutely. Yes.
Instantly.
It was actually demonstrated at the Farnborough Air Show recently, and what they did was to take a piece of aluminium foil, or aluminum foil, and...
for our American listeners, that was Adrian Warman.
And even if you sort of crumple it up, normally with the foil, you can see all the ridges.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
When it's painted and crumpled, you cannot see the folds at all.
Wow.
Because nothing's being reflected.
No light is being reflected at
awesome.
All. It is an absolute absence in space.
Does it heat up?
No. Yeah. It's just simply that the light is being... It's almost like a laser in that it is being reflected, but
in a
not straight
direction.
Back into your eye.
Yeah, right.
Yes. So there's no heating effect at all. It
is
an absolute
solar
perfect
circuit. Oh, that is cool. Mm. That's cool. See... That's Trump.
That is good. That's really good. So what applications are they thinking about using this for? Or is it just basically?
I think I've already said it. My car.
Your car.
Yeah.
Like
obvious instant application.
It might be tricky at night time though.
What about my guitar? That'd be because it would look like I wasn't playing.
That is
right. Well, in a funny way, there's a link back to your point about NASA earlier, in that one of the applications they've already come up with is to coat the inside of telescopes so that when they're searching for incredibly faint and incredibly distant objects, there's
no
ambient light at all within the telescope.
Sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Although you wouldn't actually be able to see anything.
These are really good.
These are amazing.
Apparently, this is pure speculation on my part. It's not just visible light, it's any kind of radiation.
Oh, so
from
infrared.
Ultraviolet through to far infrared.
Ooh,
I wonder if this would actually have a stealth effect on speed cameras.
Yeah. Shh. Just, I mean, where can you acquire this from?
Purely for research
purposes.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
I would imagine it's quite expensive. It's not a kind of thing you can get a B&Q yet, I'd expect.
No, you would have thought it's... No.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to ask for if anyone's got any Vanta Black and see what look I get back from the poor rat who's going to be... What? Is it you again?
It's right.
Is it... You're that Kelway bloke. Now, we've got...
The paint with
your
the
pictures on the staff room wall for these kind of questions.
Do not
leave us
like
alone.
Escort from premises.
Exactly. Goodness sake. Now, I'm being patient, but would you please leave? Awesome. So we've got an interview. Adrian, do you want to give us a bit of background on Martin, Matthew, Mike, whatever his name is?
Yes, absolutely, yes. One of the more pleasurable aspects of my work is getting to meet interesting people.
I'm glad you went there.
That's not just
news.
In the context of Hursley FM, obviously. And one of these interesting peoples is a young chap by the name of Martin White. Now, he's on the team working on a variety of projects. And he's with us here in Hursley for a year as part of his industrial placement. So he's done 2 years study at university, does a year in industry to get some practical experience, putting into practice some of the things that he's been learning as part of his studies, and also getting some new skills, trying out new things, getting ideas for projects, that sort of thing, ready for when he goes back to university. So I thought he'd be a very interesting person to talk to get, if you like, another perspective on life here in the lab, yeah. from somebody who's very, very new to the world of industry, to the world of IBM. So I thought it'd be great to have a chat with him.
How's Mark taken to it? Has he enjoyed it?
I think he's had a great time.
Yeah, well, looking forward to it.
So, well, I think we should introduce Matthew. We'll introduce him.
Yeah. Let him speak for himself. And now, finally, we are here with the awesome Mark White. Hello, Mark, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good.
I think you'll find it's Martin, John.
Martin. Okay, sorry, Mark. Sorry. Okay, all right. So,
so, Mike. Now you've got a feel for the idiocy that you're having to do it.
We're finding the level and it's sinking fast. Yeah.
John, sit closer to the mic.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, electric shock therapy. So, you have the honour of working with Adrian.
Yeah.
So, do you want to give us a rundown? Tell us what you've been doing roughly over the past year or so. What have the highlights been?
My work is sort of involved a lot of ITIM stuff, but joined within Developer Hub.
So what's working with Adrian like?
Yeah. Let's get down to the good stuff.
Let's get right in there. Come on. You're going to it, you can be honest.
The listeners should be aware that Martin is sitting within punching distance.
Fine. Is that convincing?
That's exactly how I imagined
that's
it.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yes.
To be fair, that's far better review than I've ever had.
Yes. Yearly assessments. Well done.
Or any part of my life, actually, to be honest. So, what you say have been the high points?
I would say the people, really.
Yeah.
The work's all good and enjoyable and challenging, but it's the people that kind of make it fun, really.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, funner. everyone's happy to help, so that's the thing that I've found sort of best out of the year, is you can pretty much go up to anyone, ask them about anything, even if they don't know what the hell you're talking about.
They have no problem at all telling you.
they'll go away and find out. It may be wrong, but they'll go away and, you know, at least try and find out for you.
They'll go away. That's it.
Yeah, they don't come back.
A lot of people will be right back in about 4 hours.
4 hours, yeah. I'll be right back tomorrow. Yeah.
And it's probably worth reminding everybody that you are here for the year.
Yeah.
As a result of a year in industry as part of your studies. Would you like to say a little bit about where you're currently studying, the course that you're on?
Yeah, so I'm studying at Loughborough University, mm-hmm. which no one has yet said, isn't that the sport one?
It's a sport one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I know that because
they do other things, though.
No, they don't. So what sport are you studying exactly then?
The computer science, like keyboard sort of type thing, yeah.
So gaming then?
Like David Thomas was decathlon in the 80s, it was brilliant, and I love that.
That was brilliant. We can't reminisce, we're doing an interview.
Sorry. Yeah. No, it'll be of great interest to our listener, but my parents will live in the room.
Okay, yeah.
I know.
Can we hand it back to
Adrian? Adrian can't quite believe it. Sorry,
Adrian. I was just going to wonder, perhaps Martin knows your parents.
Do you know them, Martin? I think I went out in town with them, actually. There may have been. There's not many people in town. It's probably those two walking around. The cost is a particular favourite of mine, actually, in Liverpool.
I haven't been, but...
Right?
Yeah.
So, you're studying computer science?
Yeah, computer science.
Okay. And one of the things about computer science programs in your final year, you've got your final year project and chosen options. What options are you going to be going for, do you know?
Now you're testing my memory. So I think I've chosen advanced networking, data mining, Android app development, advanced human-computer interaction, computer vision, algorithm analysis, and some others.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's now, one of the reasons why universities like students to go out and get some real-world contact is to put their academic studies into context with how things really work in the real world. It's the difference between the theory and the practice. So, a fairly short question, but quite a complicated one, really. What were your expectations of your year in industry before you started? And then looking back now, were your expectations met, or did it turn out to be completely different?
I'd say I expected to do a lot less. Not because I wanted to do a lot less, but I expected not to be given as much responsibility or real work to do. As well as I thought I would be a lot more stuck than...
In what way stuck?
So I wouldn't... I felt like I would never be able to get up to standard to a proper employee. I felt I would always be bugging people for questions and things. Mm. But I guess that shows that a course might be good. Yeah. That I actually, you know, could meet the challenges and get on with my work.
I'd agree. I think it's a reflection on you as a person as well, with your adaptability and skill set. But we don't mess around in terms of what we ask anybody who's working for us to do. You know, we expect everybody to contribute, and it's great. And it's really pleasing to hear that you've had a good time. It is really good.
Definitely.
No, I'm pleased. Yeah. So, what kind of stuff do you take back to your university? What you know, inevitably people are going to ask you what you did and whether you had a good time. What's going to be your summary of your experiences?
I don't want to sound too generic, but I just had a really good time, really, and learned lots. I'd say the main sort of skills that I'll take back are more teamwork and sort of time management. So when I first joined DevOps, I think it was around when I joined that they started seriously moving to agile development methods.
Right.
So I think I'll take some of that back to university and try and incorporate it where it's needed to be. Probably those.
Do you feel that your experiences here have changed what you're looking for career-wise? And I'm not trying to sort of guide you down the path of saying, yes, I definitely want to come back and work for IBM, although that would be great to hear. But more, do you think the real-world experience has given you a greater insight into the sort of things you do like to do, that you would definitely like to do as part of your career, or not even?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely backed up what I originally thought, which was I want to be doing something with computers, programming, development, and that sort of stuff. I also say, because I've been in DevOps, I've had a fair amount of sort of work with security related things. That was one of the things before going into uni I was sort of debating of whether to get to a generic computer science course or try and go into something more security focused. I'd say doing the few security things that I've done here has backed up the fact that I'd rather sort of go into maybe try and go into the area of security instead of generic development. But I think that's just my personal choice rather than...
Interesting. And also, looking back, what advice would you give to somebody who's about to go into their year in industry? Things that you wish you might have been told at the beginning, or things definitely don't do this because it causes problems, or whatever?
Don't leave your uni stuff until the last few weeks. That's probably one of them. Things that I probably regret not doing is trying to take part in more stuff. So I did the three main give backs, so I'm happy I did them. So I did John Keeble, Blue Fusion, and Blue Bricks.
Okay, so can you say a bit more about what they are?
Okay, so Blue Bricks is the internal PHP framework that some internal web-based tools are developed on. So I was in the Smarter recruitment tool team. Blue Fusion is the event hosted in the house where school students come in and play games developed by IBMers, and John Keeble's teaching down at the John Keeble School on campus.
Okay.
So I did them, but there are a few. So patents, I was at the beginning of the year, was one of the one things that I decided I was going to, you know, try and do. I basically made no headway on it, just probably my own fault of not motivating myself to do it, but
it's Adrian's fault, actually.
That's one of those simple things you can, if you've got a group and you talk about it, that's how you do it. I just never really got around to setting up a group and talking the ideas out. So that's one of them. Possibly not sort of going to educational sessions. So I tried to make use of the resources, so like talent at IBM and doing courses on there, as well as departmental flash talks and things, just to get knowledge, yes, snapshots of knowledge elsewhere. But I didn't really take full advantage of the education.hersey.ibm.com website. I don't know if that's my fault, or from what the ones that I saw on there, a lot of them were done by ITs that were here, which it may sound really harsh saying, I didn't particularly want to learn from other ITs. Mm-hmm. I would rather learn from someone that was had a career in that area.
Oh, scathing. If I was one of those ITs, I'd be a bit absolutely shattered.
The chances of this though is very, very low, isn't
it's
it?
Very, yeah. Well, we've got two listeners,
that
haven't we?
A good point.
And only one that's awake.
Yeah. So what are you most proud of?
I think probably pursuing projects on my own. So there was at the beginning of the year I pursued a project for someone in DevOps that needed something building, but they didn't really have the time to do it themselves. So I approached him, got the requirements from him, and developed that throughout sort of the first few months, although it's still not technically finished. As well as when the developer team was developer hub team was kicked off originally, I wasn't part of it. But it was interesting to me, so I developed a interface that I thought, well, a prototype of an interface that I thought might be a quite good idea for it, and showed that to the person in my office who was in the team, and that got shown around a bit, which resulted in me joining that team. So I thought that's probably
awesome.
Well, yeah, I'm glad I did that, because yeah, it helped me get somewhat into an interesting area and an interesting team. So
that's kind of things work with, isn't it, in IBM, is that if you show an interest, demonstrate an ability,
yeah,
you will become part of the organisation that's focused on that area. Rather than waiting for opportunity to arise, you go and pursue them, which is really nice to do that, and amazing that it actually, to be honest with you, in an IT, I think it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Really, really cool.
Yeah. Is there anything that really surprised you about your time here?
Most surprised me. That you can buy a pint on campus.
Oh,
that's
okay,
quite surprising.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that you're relaxed about it. Probably the range of areas that we cover as well. So I wasn't expecting as many development teams in Hursley than there are. As well as the general range of services provided in DevOps. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
good. Yeah,
cool. Fair enough. Mm. So, after your tour of duty here is concluded, what's next? Holiday?
A little bit of a holiday. I have to drive down back home at 3 a.m. in the morning to then go up to the Lake District. So, bit of a holiday. Researching for my final year project.
Nice.
Finally at university after that, and then possibly back to IBM if I pass my assessment centre.
Fantastic. So what's your final year project about? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, so it's one that I came up with myself, so I thought that'd be the best way to go about it. It was something that I'm interested in myself. Mm. I'm going to put all my effort into it. The basic idea is a user would go to the site and enter a piece of sort of generic information about us, maybe an email address that most websites would have about them.
Yep.
From that, I wanted to, using whatever technology that I want, but try and find out as much information about them as possible. So both through just maybe search their email address first and see if that links to any accounts. And you can say, oh, we know you have these accounts. Once you've got those accounts, why not get their profile picture, do a reverse image search for that, find out what accounts they have. And then you can say they do that. And then from that, you can analyse their tweets. To analyse tweets and say, oh, you tweet One Direction every day or something. Will you love One Direction?
John.
That's yeah. More definitely more agents influence than
is it?
I think so, yeah. I'm more Boyzone.
Oh, yeah. Dear. I feel for you.
I've heard that.
No, that was something different.
Then that would continue to sort of... I wanted to also incorporate a mobile app to that. So tracking location data, try and work out where you work, where your home is, whether you stop off at a coffee shop on your way. Gather that data into sort of a timeline on the page so they can come back every however many days and see if there's anything new on there. And so hovering over it, for example, would say, we found out this through this method to prevent a company finding this data about you. Maybe you should use a different profile picture on each account or something, but more specific than that.
Wow. So that sounds extremely interesting. What you're effectively doing is starting from a single nugget of information.
Yeah.
You'll be going out, doing all sorts of searches and cross-references, following up the metadata trail,
yeah,
in effect. That's very interesting. I remember reading an interview with Tom Clancy some time back, and he wrote the book The Hunt for Red October.
Mm.
And when that came out, the defence industry was extremely concerned that he'd been able to get hold of what they thought was extremely classified information, particularly about submarine design. And it turned out that actually all he had done was to go to various public sources and put bits of information together and produce conclusions. So it's a similar sort of thing, but brought up into the modern age. But you're going a stage further from what you've said there in terms of not just finding the information, but then starting to make recommendations on how you could start to cover your tracks,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, so that's the basic idea of trying to limit your... Nowadays, everyone's sharing whatever they can.
Mm.
And so companies know everything we put out there, pretty much.
Mm.
And you might not necessarily want certain accounts being linked to you, so
yes,
being able to find out exactly what's possible to get, whether it's by companies or the other side. I wanted was anyone with malicious intent, so by gathering sort of password lists that have been exposed recently, matching up emails from that as well, you could say, you know, someone's going to know that you've used this password on this account, maybe you should sort of change that.
Yes.
So you've got both the aspects of companies and people with malicious intent.
Mm.
So even if you don't mind the companies knowing your data, maybe you should hide some of it because these other people can get it as well.
I can see that sort of thing being extremely important, increasingly so as time goes by, because more and more people are going to be doing exactly that kind of search. Yeah, that's a very cool project. I like that.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah,
I've just got one final question, and you know, it's maybe a little bit personal, but what's your favourite dinosaur?
T-Rex.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Fair enough.
And
good
why?
Choice.
I don't know.
Okay.
T-Rex is the hero of the dinosaur era, I think. He saves the day in Jurassic Park.
Does he?
Everyone's
lots
scared of
him.
Turns out he saves the day, takes those raptors out.
Yes.
Boom!
He does, you're right.
And
yeah,
that's the end of that. Good choice,
yeah,
sir. Good choice.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming in, Matthew.
Yeah.
Thank you
for having me.
Take care. Cheers,
excellent,
buddy.
Thank you.
It's Martin, by the way, everybody. Just to show it.
Boom.
Ah, brilliant.
So there we are.
Yes. What a legend. Martin.
He's a really, really, really nice guy.
He's
yeah,
a smart guy, isn't he?
He is. He's very smart. And in fact, I mean, he mentioned towards the beginning of the interview working on ITIM, IBM Tibby Identity Manager. That's a very, very clever piece of kit,
yeah,
there. It's very, very important in terms of identity control, access management, that sort of thing. And understanding the subtleties of the roles and rules and permissions is not for the faint-hearted, because you've absolutely got to get it right when you're talking about,
yeah,
security and access.
Yeah.
And Martin picked it up and ran with it. I mean, he's undoubtedly, I would say, one of the smartest people it's been my pleasure to work with in some considerable time. So it was really, really great to be working
with. That's actually incredibly not high praise.
Not as though, Adrian, surely you don't... As accepted, obviously.
Accepted, of course. Yes.
That's a relief.
I'd assume completely the opposite. If Adrian's just doing a counter interview with who are the stupidest people you've ever worked with, that's when I'd expect us to feature.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of that. Yeah. I'll take that. That's great. That's a compliment.
I tell you what I like as well is the fact that he's worked on ITAM and also now he's got a thirst for more security.
Yes,
you know, he's keen to learn more about it, which is brilliant.
And in fact, that highlights one of the real values of going out for your industrial experience as an undergraduate, because you've got this wealth of theoretical, abstract academic knowledge, and then you get to put it into practice, and it can be a massive cultural shock to begin with.
I think it is, eventually, isn't it?
You start to realise, actually, this is how it fits together, and you start to get an insight into what works for you and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's surprising how often, when you go back for your final year, the project ideas, the subjects you wanted to specialise in, you might have completely changed your mind.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, because you change your mind to reflect what you're good at, what you're interested in, and that is going to shape the way your career goes. So all strength to him. Really good.
Cool. Well, thanks very much, and thank you to Martin for coming along. It's quite brave.
He was.
He did well. So I've just got, I mean, we're in closeout now. I've got a recommendation to share.
Go on then.
This week, I went to the cinema, and I don't go very often. I love films, but I tend to be an armchair consumer. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that I can sort of pause it and go and do whatever I need to do. And come
rewind.
Back. Yeah. No, that's you, John. Projecting your preferences onto me. Me and the coffee crew that I generally have lunch with, we every now and again decide to go to the cinema. Mm. Guardians of the Galaxy. I am recommending this movie. It has got a profoundly good sense of humour about it.
Awesome.
It's highly entertaining. It works on two levels. So it's Certificate 12A, because there's a little bit of very mild choice language.
Okay.
But that's it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant Marvel graphic novel that's been turned into a film, and they're faithful to it. You'll see a couple of characters you've seen in extra tidbits around the Avengers or Thor and stuff like that. And it is just... it is great fun. I'm not going to say any more than that, other than I laughed and giggled all the way through it. The script is outstanding. So.
Do you need to be aware of the Guardians of the Galaxy? You can go to this completely cold and just have a good time.
I've never read the graphic novel, because I'm not a huge Marvel fan.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. I love the films. It's just, I like, when I read graphic novels, I like some of the dark, Hellblazer, Constantine stuff. You know,
Punisher.
Punisher, exactly. Something. Well, he's actually... is he Marvel? I think he might be Marvel.
He is Marvel, yeah.
But whichever way, you don't need any background. I mean, obviously, it's got a bit of science fiction, but it's not what I call educated science fiction. Right. It's just, you know, takes place in space.
Is it one of those films that stands on the strength of the plot? It's not because it's got good special effects?
Oh, it has both.
Okay.
It can stand on its own merits. I mean, plot, I'd say... it's a classic plot.
Mm-hmm.
It stands on the strength of the characterisation.
Mm.
Wow.
So I'd say characterisation, special effects, and humour.
Good.
It's awesome. Very, very good.
So who are the heroes, isn't it?
So you need to go and see the film. I'm trying to do a quick review and you're grilling me. So there's a number of different characters, but basically the Guardians of the Galaxy are five of these characters who inhabit this universe, and they stretch from a nominal human being through to a tree that's perhaps more akin to an ent than anything else.
Oh.
But it can regrow its limbs and stuff like that. And,
okay.
And you know, I don't want to, because some of the pleasure of watching it is learning about these characters.
Right.
So I don't want to give any more away, because it's worth hanging on and experiencing it the way they want to introduce the characters, because that in and of itself is fantastic.
You've piqued my interest.
Indeed.
I'm glad.
Yeah. And one of the things that I like to know is, is it worth staying on to the end of the credits?
It is.
Right.
Aha!
In this case, particularly so.
Okay.
Yes.
I'd
heard rumours.
It's a very subtle nod. It's very well done.
Yes.
Yes.
Cool.
Well, so that's me. So,
excellent.
And unless anybody's got anything else they want to add?
No.
I think we're done.
Brilliant.
I'm done.
Thank you very much for listening. As always, we'll be back again in the near future. We're still trying to
entice that Ben Mann character in for a bit of a chat, but his calendar is swamped, so we'll get him eventually. We'll black bag him.
We will.
Thanks for listening.
Thank
bye.
You.
Cheers. Bye.
Johnny Mac, Mr. Jezalenko, and Dr. Adrian Warman, best writing technology, like a colossus, it's Hursley FM.